Hey, everybody. It's Chris Tripolino, and it's always my pleasure to get to welcome you to the Fabric Podcast. In case you missed it, we spent the last few weeks getting to know Ian McConnell, the new guy around here. This week, Ian is helping us all dig in and wonder, discover, tend to, and expand our roots. We're calling this conversation Rooted, or I guess Rooted. Either way, here's Ian to kick it off.
This feels scarier even than the last 3 weeks, because for the last 3 weeks in the New Guy series, the subject material I was an expert at. Today we start a new series called Rooted. As we were kind of considering these 3 weeks before Easter, and we had this time to explore something with some level of depth, we were kind of thinking about how this season of the year, this kind of dark and cold typically time, it was 70 degrees last week, is kind of a good time for a little bit of introspection and even a little navel-gazing and looking at our roots. And so we've been talking about this rooted idea. And in part because this kind of came up in the Q&R, the question and response that we did two weeks ago, this kind of question about, like, what do we do with the suffering in the world? Like, how do we exist and not fall into despair? And it really seems to me like at the heart of suffering is disconnection. I think there's a really strong link there. Like, disconnection from ourselves, disconnection from others, disconnection from the divine source of life and love and all that exists. Like, how many of you, by show of hands, how many of you during the first months, years of the COVID pandemic came to realize in new ways your need or shifting need for connection with yourself, with others, with some divine source? That was shocking, and it continues to play out. Like, I used to think I needed to be around people all the time. My capacity for that now is not what it was. And yet, when I find myself totally isolated, I feel a sense of ugh, I think is the word for it, ugh, even more quickly than I would have before. And so using our metaphor that we use at Fabric of deeply woven life being centered around three stranded conversations that matter, we're going to spend these 3 weeks before Easter on each of the three strands that, when they are braided together, get pretty close to representing the strength of an integrated full life, right? So we've got the self strand, the strand representing all others, and then that third strand, which so many wisdom traditions, including ours, often refer to as God, at least in the English language. We're going to look at, like, what does it mean to have roots, to be rooted people, to rely on roots? What happens when we buy into the lie that we can be rootless or entirely self-sufficient, right? A part of the reason for this series is that as a community, we can't solve for or fix all the suffering in the world or even in our own lives, right? We can't fix it all. But if there is a connection between suffering and connection or disconnection, we can do something about that, right? We can do something about those feelings of being connected or disconnected. We can tell the truth to ourselves and to one another about our roots. And so today, we are going to begin with the self strand, the most natural place to start. And as I was thinking about this and kind of preparing for today in particular, really focusing in on this self strand and saving the connectedness to others and to the divine for later weeks, it's really hard to separate these things. I was sharing in our huddle beforehand today, before the gathering today, and Della said, it's almost like those strands are supposed to be woven together. So we are, this is going to be kind of an imperfect thing, but go with it knowing that this isn't the full picture. What you hear today isn't the full picture. So we're going to start with part one. Each of us is a wee rooted seedling. We each, in this kind of metaphor, each of us is like a seedling with roots, a seedling that grows, a seedling that is changing internally, externally. Maybe we have flowers, and maybe we have branches, and maybe we have thorns, and maybe, you know, there's all sorts of things that we can grow into. But growth, the first thing that I would want to say is that growth isn't always obvious. And neither are roots. Like, to be a rooted person and to become aware of our rootedness, right? It really requires that we recognize that there's so much happening in each one of us. Every time that we enter a space with other people, there's something going on in them. There's something going on in us. Our roots are different. Our structures are different. We come from different places, different families, maybe different cultures. Maybe we have different tastes and preferences and whatnot. But there's so much going on all the time, and we bloom in different ways and have a variety of tangled root systems. The other thing I would say on this is that growth and rootedness, it's not even a linear process, right? However, it is constant. Roots continue to grow. Growth continues to happen, whether intentionally or accidentally. And that is healthy. It's a good thing. I brought these tulips. It's hard to see in this light, probably. Now I can see it really well. But you can see the little roots from these bulbs. I brought them as kind of a visual. It's fun. Come check it out when you have a chance to come take a peek. But when we cut a tulip, right? A cut flower doesn't continue to grow. Like, this rootedness stuff is really important. So when it comes down to it, you, each one of you, we rooted seedling, are worthy of being aware of. And we owe it to ourselves to examine our roots, to know ourselves deeply. It takes some effort and intentionality because just like trees and flowers and shrubs, the shape of our roots or the root ball or the branches that grow from our lives has a lot to do with a ton of factors. We've got ancestry, we've got DNA, we've got our experiences growing up, how we've evolved or mutated over time based on our own experiences. And so we're asking of ourselves today to try to know, I'm trying to know me better. The kids today are learning a line as part of their kind of meditation practice that Heidi shared with me. It's really beautiful. Their little line is, unearth my heart, let me know everything about me. Isn't that great? At the tail end of Psalm 139, too, is this line. It says, it's kind of like a prayer. And it's directed to God, and it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I don't think the third strand, the divine, needs to know my anxious heart, but I know I do. I think for me, prayer more often is actually about what I need for myself than asking for any activation from the divine, but it kind of matches this idea of like knowing ourselves deeply and having something revealed. When we till the soil underneath ourselves and within ourselves, stuff's gonna come up. And so it takes courage to look deeper than just our flowers, right? The things that sparkle about us, to dive into the heart and soul of ourselves rather than just our accomplishments or what others think about us or our strengths or the masks that we wear, and just to really develop a deeper sense of who we are, who we've been created to be, who we've been becoming. So part two is that we have tools at our disposal. There are a lot of ways to dive into our root systems. Like, I mean, we could name them. Therapy is one. Personality inventories. Do you have a favorite personality inventory? Well, some people love the Myers-Briggs. We got Enneagram. What are some, you know, those kind of things help us get to know who we are. There's conversations with family and friends that help us out. There's journaling. And then there's a couple practical ones that we've already done this morning and are going to continue to do together. So the one we did earlier that Chris led us in is kind of a body scan, taking note of where we might be feeling tension or pain and wondering about the source of that. Another's through practicing what we did last week, sharing stories with one another, receiving the stories of others. There's this kind of magical thing that happens whenever I tell my story that surprises me sometimes, is the way that my story comes out might reveal some of the heart of it, that I get surprised by how I share my own story. Another tool we've got is on the middle of the back side of your Sunday paper. Just kind of an open space to look at your roots, to wonder about what roots give you grounding, right? Or energy, or courage, or connection, a sense of strength, of belonging. And then one more thing I'd invite you to, and you got this in folded up in your Sunday paper, is the wellness wheel. On the back side are a feelings chart with really cute animals. The kids are using this today. And on this side is the wellness wheel. Not a perfect tool, but it does highlight areas of wellness, and it really isn't a complete list, and there's overlaps between these, and they kind of bleed into one another, but on this wellness wheel, we've got relational wellness, spiritual wellness, emotional wellness, intellectual, occupational, physical wellness. It can be a helpful tool to just kind of look at each of those sections and wonder, how am I doing here, right? Like, and if I am sensing that maybe there's some part of this wheel that I'm not feeling all that well in, what does that have to do with my sense of rootedness in myself? The reality and challenge of this tool and so many others is that we can't give attention to all of these areas of wellness simultaneously. We can't do it all at the same time, right? But each one of them has an impact on the others. So like if I were to notice that I need to maybe give a little extra attention and love to my physical being, my physical wellness, and then do something about it, it should probably have an impact on other areas of my life. I notice that when I go biking, for example, emotionally, I'm doing so much better. Like immediately, right? It happens. Spiritually, intellectually, I'm so much more open because I'm giving kind of love and attention to the place that I was really feeling maybe a little disconnected from myself. Okay, I'm going to move on from that. I want to share a word from the prophet Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry is just as good as anything. Just amazing. So this is, and you might hear this poem a few more times in the next 3 weeks, but this poem by Wendell Berry, who is a little bit of a farmer and a little bit of an artist, it's called The Peace of Wild Things. And so I offer this to you as we get into our next section about rootlessness. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. All right. The lie of rootlessness. I have news for you that you might experience as good news and you might experience as bad news. Are you ready? None of us is rootless. We're not that special. Whether we like it or not, we are rooted. I'm concerned anytime that we try to believe that we can cut ourselves off from our roots, right? Anytime that we maybe experience something and lop it off, right? And believe the lie that we can be totally self-sufficient or healthy on our own. In recent years, I've been doing a lot of kind of curious work on my family tree. During COVID, there was, you know, a lot of time, and Ancestry.com was right there. And I knew growing up that I am descended from this Livingston family, like signers of the Declaration of Independence. That's the story that I heard, right? And that was kind of the extent of that story. Like, this kind of beautiful thing. Oh, cool. You know, public servants, they held all sorts of offices in early America, and that's pretty cool. But at some point, I'm guessing in the last five or so generations, a choice was made about how much of the story gets told. And we landed, so what I grew up with and what my dad grew up with, who's here today, presumably, is that the Livingstons signed the Declaration of Independence. And at some point, our branch of that family moved west and was a little adventurous and kind of got disconnected from that part of the family. So that's the extent of the story that was told. But the same family of ancestors, while it's true that they contributed what they did to early America, they also they amassed an incredible amount of wealth. Sometimes, if you look in the history books, it just says fur trade. The part that I have a hard time sharing is having learned that they amassed incredible wealth through the participation in the transatlantic slave trade. It's hard to admit that about my roots. And it's really hard to share it out loud, out of fear of what you might do with that, right? Or assume about me or, you know, whatever. I feel a little bit of shame about that. But that shame doesn't make that part of my family's story any less true. And frankly, the reality that I have ancestors who profited off the dehumanization of so many, it gives me motivation for how I'm going to live my life today. I can't control the far past, but I can do something here and now in this body that I've got and with the time that I've got to actively work against the powers that would profit off the dehumanization of others that are still going on in our world, in our country, in our state, in this neighborhood. It's happening. We can do something with that. There's a temptation to separate from our roots, and I know that well. From our roots and our identities. Rather than tending to the hurt in our roots, we can sometimes capitulate to the lie that we can even separate ourselves from our roots. And whenever we try to separate ourselves from our rootedness, there are, you may have noticed, plenty of voices and plenty of products and subscription models that are just happy to take the place of our identities, right? There's all sorts of snake oil that can be sold to replace our rootedness. The desire to disconnect from our very selves is tempting, So as an example, as a sort of model for this, with these cool tulips, I brought along a knife. I kind of want to just take one of these. And if I were going to lop off roots, right, and just cut it, now I can stick this in whatever, right? A tulip, a cut tulip will continue to kind of look tulipy when it's put in something else. And a tulip, like us, is going to just always be wanting to drink up whatever we can. The questions about who we are, what's our purpose, what are we going to do with our lives, what with our time? There's plenty of water that can take the place of roots for a short time, but ultimately, this tulip is going to get pretty droopy by next week, right? Probably won't even bloom. We will drink up whatever we can get without roots, but it doesn't sustain us. The desire to disconnect from our very selves is true. Sometimes in our family trees, to be sure, maybe even in immediate families. And I wanna make a note to make sure you hear me say, like, there's a difference between tending to the hurt in our roots and continuing to endure active pain. Is that clear? I wanna make sure I'm being heard on that. That if you are experiencing suffering at the hands of others, don't stay in it. But I think it's good after a time to be able to look at the roots of pain and do something with that. We can tend to the hurt. And I think it's true with so many other facets in life. Like, I've hated learning the ugly in my family tree, but I can't pretend that I'm not from that lineage. I'd miss out on the opportunity to continue to break cycles that repeat when they're not addressed. It's messy, but it's worthy work. I don't like at all some of what I see our country doing to others around the world, or what local governments do to people in our own neighborhoods, particularly to those who have been historically marginalized and disenfranchised, but I can't pretend that my tax dollars aren't funding it, right? Or that I'm not actually American, you know, a citizen of this country. I'd miss out on participating in upholding our aspirations. I've shared with you a few weeks ago, some of my experience with sort of theologically diluted Christianity and the pain that can happen with that. But I can't pretend that I'm not also rooted in this particular faith and that I still find an incredible depth of beauty and meaning in it. Or that I'm not a pastor, right? So I think I've said what I need to say on that. The challenge here is that what I really end up wanting to do is go to next week, where we're going to talk about our interconnected root systems, because I actually find a lot of comfort in that. But I'm not going to do it today, because that's what we're doing next week. So... if your guts are churning like mine are in talking about this, just know that, like, next week we are going to talk about it. That our root systems, my root systems, I'm not responsible for tending to just myself and having it all figured out. My root systems are reaching out to yours. We are interconnected, and we're going to get to that. And there's great comfort in that, and there's great strength in that. We're going to get there next week. One more poem from the prophet, and then we'll wrap this up for today. Does that sound good? This is another Wendell Berry poem. It's called 30 More Years, and I think it gets at some of this about who we are and how we are rooted in ourselves, but really we grow in surprising ways. 30 More Years. When I was a young man, grown up at last, how large I seemed to myself. I was a tree, tall already, and what I had not yet reached, I would yet grow to reach. Now, 30 years added on, I have reached much that I did not expect, in a direction unexpected. I am growing downward, smaller, one among the grasses. I hope that you'll continue to be part of the conversation as we talk about rootedness. And even today, let's just keep reaching out to each other, being connected, holding on to all of what it means to be a rooted critter in the world. The good, the bad, and the uncertain. May it be so.
Thanks for listening. May this simply be the start of the conversation. Reach out if you want help connecting with a group virtually or in the Twin Cities, and tag @FabricMPLS with your own thoughts on social media. You can also stay up to date and find other resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.